This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam, wassalam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad al-Razazi welcoming you to the Sira series, Walking with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or upon the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you allow me, I just want to give a minute or two for more people to join, inshallah. This is episode number 33, and we are today with the after the Hijrah. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be talking about some preps for the battle of Badr, inshallah. So we've spent a lot of time with the Prophet. In fact, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, we spent a lot of time with him at home. We spent a lot of time with him in the markets. We spent time with him in the masjid, you know, seeing his daily schedule. You know, those of you who've missed out on these lectures, you can always go back and review all these lectures. They're all, you know, saved, recorded on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube as well, right? So you can always go back and watch them, inshallah ta'ala. You know, those of you who've joined us for the very first time, it's not just a seerah. I've always been saying it's just not a seerah. It is, I call it walking with the Prophet, or upon the footsteps of the Prophet, because we get to go and meet the Prophet, enter his home, seeing his daily schedule, seeing what he does from the time he opens his eyes in the morning until he goes back to sleep. What does he do? We always wonder. I wonder. I'm sure you wonder too, don't you? Brothers and sisters, those on Facebook, on those on Instagram, don't you wonder, you know, what does the Prophet do throughout the day? You know, what does he eat for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner? When does he eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner? We talked about all that as well. Again, those of you who've missed these lectures, go back and watch them. And I'm trying to make them not, you know, long. Why? For the main reason, so that people don't get bored. How can you get bored talking about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But I do that on purpose. I don't want to make it long, short and sweet, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes max, talking about Prophet, living with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All right, so today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a detour, right? As I've been saying, today we will take a detour because we, as you know, like I said, for the past few weeks, we've just been talking, you know, like meeting the Prophet after he migrated from Mecca to Medina. He's in Medina. The first thing they did when they migrated to, when he migrated to Medina, building the masjid, three main things he did first when he migrated to Medina. The first and foremost, Bina al-Masjid, the establishing of the masjid. So they built the masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi. Of course, before that, we talked about the establishment of the very first mosque, you know, in the history of Islam. And that very first mosque is Masjid Quba, right? Masjid Quba. Those of you who've been to Medina, I'm sure they've been to Masjid Quba, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whosoever makes wudu in his home and then he goes and he prays two rak'ah in Masjid Quba, it will be equivalent to Umrah with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Umrah, imagine, free of charge. Umrah, not by yourself, no, Umrah with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So imagine, you know, and the Prophet used to do that every Saturday, he would go to Masjid Quba to pray two rak'ah. So he established that first masjid in Quba. And then after Quba alayhi salatu wasalam, he proceeded to Medina. You know, we talked about all that, you know, when he, with his she camel. What is the name of the Prophet she camel, brothers and sisters? Instagram, Facebook. What's the name of the Prophet's she camel? You guys remember? I mentioned that. I'm sure a lot of you are taking notes, but who remembers the name of the Prophet's she camel? It's a she camel, not he camel. Prophet she camel. What's the name of the Prophet's camel? Who knows? Who remembers? I know, I cannot throw candy at you. I cannot throw chocolate at you because I'm not live. I mean, I'm live, but we're not like physically live. Otherwise, I will be throwing chocolate and candy to whomever answers the question. But come on, who remembers? Are you Googling it? Don't ask Sheikh Google. Come on, don't Google it. Just tell me the name of the Prophet's camel. The Lamborghini or the Ferrari or the Bentley? What was her name? The Prophet's camel, come on. What are you waiting for? Those of you on Facebook as well. What's the name of the Prophet's, you know, the Prophet's she camel? Nobody knows. Al-Qaswa. Okay, I'll tell you. Al-Qaswa. Al-Qaswa. That's the name of her, of the Prophet's camel. So when they entered Medina, and then the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, came down from the Al-Qaswa, that Al-Qaswa was going around, and you know, and then she sat down in one sort of like one location, and then she stood up again, and then went around, and then she came back to that very same spot, and then she kneeled down, and that was actually the place, you know, that place where she kneeled down, it is where the minbar, the actual minbar of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, when you go to Masjid al-Nabawi, when you go to where the Rawda is, you know, people who've been in Medina, they know what I'm talking about. The Rawda. The Rawda is where people, they struggle to pray at. You know, they, a lot of people, they make sure that when they go to Medina, sometimes it's so crowded, and you know, to try to pray there. But some, you know, people do take their time. You know, they take line, huge line, to just to go and pray in the Rawda. So in that Rawda, which is actually the, that's the actual masjid, the original masjid of the Prophet, between, you know, that's where his house was on the left. And then the masjid, you know, on the right, that section is called the Rawda, right? Or the Garden of Heaven, as he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is the minbar, the actual minbar, the original minbar of the Prophet, the pulpit of the Prophet. That's where the camel kneeled down, right? And that's where they built the masjid. So that's the first thing they did, alayhi salam. And then after that, he called for unity between the, you know, between the Muslims, between the Muhajirin and Ansar. This is the second thing he did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, brothers and sisters, the third thing he did. Well, the second thing, there was this very well-known story, very amazing well-known story. A lot of people know about this story. A man from the Muhajirin, a man from the Ansar, because the Muhajirin, they left everything behind when they migrated to Mecca. They left everything behind. They left their belongings, their house. Even Prophet Muhammad has left, you know, things behind him. They just wanted to come out with their faith. They wanted to come out with the deen, with their iman. So they left everything behind. And then they, you know, they came to Medina. So they started from scratch. Came this man from Al-Ansar. His name is Sa'd ibn Rabi'. Sa'd ibn Rabi'. And then he came and because the Prophet was, you know, calling, you know, two couples to sort of befriend each other and to help each other. So Sa'd ibn Rabi' was from the Ansar, came, and then Amr ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was from the Muhajirin. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf, by the way, brothers and sisters, he was amongst the quote-unquote millionaires of the Sahaba. The millionaires, he was, well, not millionaire, not at the time, but, you know, for today, we would say he was a millionaire. He was very, very rich. Radiallahu anhu wa rada. You know, him, Uthman ibn Affan, Abu Bakr, those were the most richest people, you know, from Quraysh, from the, you know, from the Muhajirin, from the Arabs, you know. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he was so, but, you know, before before he died, they said that he had so much money, but when he came to Medina, he had nothing. So came Sa'd ibn Rabi', and he told him, listen, here's my money. He brought all his money with him. This is all I have. Half of it is yours. Take it. Not only that, I have two wives. I'm willing to divorce one of them, and you can marry her. And he meant, at the time, he meant what he was, you know, he says, I want to help with whatever. I'm sure you want to get married. Don't you want to get married? Don't you want to get married? Who wants to get married? You want to get married? Everybody want to get married? No, those who are married already, I'm not talking to you, right? I am not talking to you, you know. So came this man by the name of Sa'd ibn Rabi', right, to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, who was from the Ansar, and he says, here is all my wealth. Half of it is yours, and the other half is mine. And I have two wives, with her permission, of course. I'm willing to divorce her. If you want to marry her, pick one. And then he says, Barakallahu laka fi ahlika wa malik, dullani ala suq. May Allah bless your health and bless your wealth. And bless your family. Just show me where the market is. Just show me where the market is. Subhanallah. You know, so, and he went to the market. And he did business. You know, he's just like, he went, He had something with him. He sold it. He made some money. He bought something else. You know, kept. He's a merchant. He's a businessman. He's very, very, you know, like very smart businessman. He came with nothing, but he, you know, end up, you know, making so much money. Radiallahu anhu arda. So at any rate, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam, he again, you know, called that brotherhood between the Muhajirin and Ansar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that as well in Surah Al-Imran, talking about that unity. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Imran, you know, talking about, you know, how there was hatred between them. There was animosity between, you know, between these Arabs, between the Ansar. And then came, you know, the Prophet Muhammad, and then he united them and brought them together. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِي إِخْوَانًا. You were enemies. And then the Prophet came, and then he, you know, brought the hearts together, mended the hearts and brought them together with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't forget that good. Don't forget those blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third thing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did when he migrated to Medina, brothers and sisters, is he set up the system, the constitution. You know, in that constitution, this qanun, you know, he had to set up some laws. He's a leader now, he's the ruler, so a ruler has to set some laws. So he set up his constitution, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that constitution, talking about, you know, the Jews, because remember, the Medina was made of three segments. You have the Ansar, and then the Yahud. The Ansar were two tribes, Al-Aus, Al-Khazraj, and then you have the Yahud. And amongst the Yahud, although there were many, many tribes of the Yahud. So when the Prophet came, he united everyone. As he united everyone, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right, he set up that constitution whereby that the rights of the Jews are the same as the rights of the believers. As long as they, you know, pay their dues, they pay their taxes, you know, the jizya, khalas, they, whatever rights they have, the same rights, you know, that the Muslims have are the same rights that the, you know, the Yahud would have. On top of that, freedom of religion. The Yahud can keep their religion, so are the Muslims. Everybody can keep their own religions. Ali Sattu said, this is freedom of faith. You know, the Yahud, they did not have to embrace Islam when the Prophet migrated to Medina. Ali Sattu Salam, they can keep their deen, and the Muslims will keep their deen. This is why he moved to Medina, Ali Sattu Salam, because he could not, you know, he could not exercise his religion. He could not practice the deen. He could not do his mission, and his mission was to, you know, propagate the risala, the mission, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is deen. So he had to find somebody who can host him, who can defend him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Came the people of Medina to host Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And also he set up another rule. No one from any muhajirin or ansar, no group, no tribe are allowed to go and fight or be involved in any war or whatnot, except with the permission of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam. Very straightforward. Very straightforward. I'm here to rule. I'm here to lead. So you cannot just go and, you know, get into a war or a fight or whatnot with some other tribes or whatnot. You have to, if you're, you know, even traveling, you have to take permission from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Right. So the Prophet, he built masjid. He united the Muslims, those in Medina, and he set up the dustur, you know, this constitution, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the muhajirin, they also participated. They did so much. What did they do? They didn't just come and sit and, you know, and watch. No, they contributed. Because here are the Ansar hosting them. So I'm not going to just sit here like people sometimes when they travel or they migrate from their country to Canada or to the US or to the UK or whatever, you know, they migrate to. And then they just get the money from the system, you know, welfare, and they live off of welfare. They live off of the welfare. And then they just sit down and do nothing. No, the Muslims have to have the upper hand. Not the lower hand. Don't just keep on getting that money from the government and then you not doing nothing. You can work. Go and work. You can work. You can do things. You can contribute, pitch in into the betterment of the society. Don't just sit and get that money from the government as a miskin, as a poor, having the lower hand. You're not supposed to be having that lower hand. No, you work and you have the upper hand and you help and you support and you pay the paychecks. You give people paychecks instead of you getting that, you know, $50 or that $100 or that $200 or that $5, whatever it is, a month. No, you go and work. So the Sahaba, they contributed. The Sahaba, they stood up. What did they do? They started teaching the Ansar some skills, like welding and, you know, how to make swords. They started teaching them. They pulled 70 Sahabis, right? And then they started teaching them, you know, certain skills, work. And at the same time, at night, they would teach them Quran. Because Ansar, they did not know much. The Muhajirin, they lived with the Prophet in Mecca, so they knew more Quran. The Muhajirin, they knew more Quran than the Ansar. So they picked up 70, right? And then they started teaching them Quran. Those 70 brothers and sisters, they became the Huffaz. They became the Huffaz. Who are the Huffaz? Those who memorize the Quran. Because those 70, they will be sent to give da'wah. Those 70, they are buried in Al-Baqi' today. Today, they're buried in Al-Baqi'. Why? Because the Prophet, I will talk about that story. Those 70, they will become Huffaz, and the Prophet will send them to teach to, because some tribe, they asked Prophet Muhammad to send them some people to teach them about Islam. So the Prophet sent those 70 Huffaz. Those 70 Huffaz were killed by that tribe, by those people. They deceived them, right? They deceived them, and then they killed them all. Those 70 Huffaz are buried in Al-Baqi'. So the Sahaba, the Muhajirin, those who migrated from Mecca, they picked those Sahabis, those 70, teaching them skills during the day, and at night, they would teach them Quran. So here, you see, people are working. People are doing something. Radiallahu anhum wa ardah. Brothers and sisters, when in Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed the fara'id. What fara'id? Siyam was revealed in Medina. Was being, you know, sent out in Medina. Siyam, fasting. The Salah. Well, the Salah in Mecca, yes, true. But the five daily prayers, you know, the Fajr, Turaka, the Dhuhr, four Raka, the Asr, four Raka, Maghrib, three Raka, and Isha, you know, four Raka. This was, in fact, been established in Medina. Hijab was established in Medina. The prohibition of alcohol was also revealed in Medina. All these fara'id. The fara'id. In Mecca was only tawheed. 13 years of tawheed. Of la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Now in Medina, it's ready. In Mecca, they were all paving the road to build the iman. Work on the iman of the Sahaba. Now, once they migrated to Medina, they're ready. They're ready to follow. So women are ready now to put hijab. Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the ayah of hijab. So much so, sisters, this is what happened. When this ayah of hijab came down, the sahabiya heard the ayah of the hijab. She was in the street. She stood still. One sahabiya, she stood still. She could not move. She had to ask one of the girls to go and get her something to cover herself with. Allahu Akbar. They were ready. They were ready. When the order prohibition of alcohol was revealed, you know, was being set down with the Sulh Jibreel, the Sahabis, they were, you know, drinking. As they were drinking at night, when the ayah was revealed, they started throwing up the kida. They were throwing up. You know, they were, you know, the alcohol that they were drinking, the wine that they were drinking, they were spitting it out. The narration said that there were rivers of alcohol running in Medina, of wine. Alcohol, wine. Rivers of wine running through Medina. People, they used to have barrels, containers of wine. The Sahaba, they used to love drinking wine. The Muhajirin, The Ansar, although they used to drink wine, right? So they used to have these barrels, these containers. So when the ayah of the Quran of, you know, of Al-Khamar came down in Medina, they're just khalas. They were pouring, you know, everybody was pouring those, you know, those wines from their homes, running, you know what, flowing rivers of wine in Medina. The Prophet Muhammad also was giving lectures and sermons in the Masjid al-Nabawi. There were more people, you know, coming and more people, you know, and joining and more people embracing Islam. And women were in the back. There was no partition at the time. The partition happened at the time of Umar ibn Khattab. You know, the partition to cover between men and women, it did not happen at the time of the Prophet. In fact, it happened at the time of Umar ibn Khattab when he separated one interest for women and one interest for men. Even the places of wudu, men and women, he used to have only one, but at the time of Umar, he started separating between men and women. So when the Prophet was, you know, used to give lectures or khutbas or whatnot, you know, he would stand up. And the sahabiyat in the back, the women in the back, they could not see the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Came a woman and told him, Ya Rasulullah, we're in the back, we cannot see you. We can't see you. So the Ansar came up with the idea of the minbar. It was a woman who suggested that. It was a woman who suggested, Ya Rasulullah, we are in the back, we can't see you. This is why one of the rules, one of the fiqhi rules, you know, in our masajid, that women, they have to look at the imam, especially during the salah. They have to look at, even if you put a partition, okay, but have some sort of a screen, they have to see the imam during the salah, to follow the imam. Huh? So, they came, Ya Rasulullah, we can't see you. There's so many men and we're all the way in the back. So the Prophet, you know, came with, you know, they came and they built him a minbar. They built him, you know, those craftsmen. They just came and they built a minbar of three steps to the Prophet alayhi salam. And then he started using it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, my brothers and sisters, the idea of adhan was revealed, came down in Medina. There was no adhan in Mecca. Even in Medina, there was no adhan for some time until Abdullah ibn Zayd. Abdullah ibn Zayd, he saw a dream. He saw a dream seeing a man holding a bell. So he told that man, can I use your bell? For what? Can I use your bell so I can call people for, you know, to tell people about the prayer? Because there was no call of the prayer. It's the prayer time. So come pray, come pray, come pray. So can I use your bell? So the man told him in his dream, can I teach you something better? Can I teach you something better? What? He says, say after me. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. All this happened in a dream. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala as-salah. And the man is remembering all this in the dream. He's taking notes in his dream. Hayya 'ala as-salah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. The man heard this and then he woke up. And then he told Rasulullah about this dream. Ya Rasulullah, I saw this dream about this man holding a bell and I wanted to use it to call people for the prayer. But then he taught me this. And then Umar ibn Khattab saw the same dream. Umar ibn Khattab saw the same dream. And then the Prophet Muhammad, he says, this is how we're going to call people for Adhan. But we need to pick someone with a beautiful voice. We need to have somebody with a beautiful voice. Who was that man that the Prophet called to make Adhan? Who was that man that the Prophet called to make Adhan? Which is in fact one very, very, you know, interesting rule that anybody who comes to make Adhan, he has to have a beautiful voice. A voice that attracts people to come and pray, you know. Not a voice that would, you know, make people run away from the salah. You want somebody who has a beautiful voice? Kaim Bilal. Naam, she Yasmin. Mashallah aliki Yasmin. Naam, Ros Lili. Bilal. Bilal was the man. Bilal was the man. But there were two mu'adhins, brothers and sisters. There were two mu'adhins. There was one mu'adhin who used to make adhan, you know, early before Fajr. And there's a second mu'adhin who used to make adhan, you know, for Fajr. The first mu'adhin was Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum was the blind man. So he used to make the first adhan only for Fajr. The first adhan to wake people up. To wake people up, you know, to make for suhoor, for qiyam, you know. So he would wake them up. And then when the Fajr comes Bilal to make that beautiful adhan. Right, for tahajjud, exactly. So this adhan idea was, you know, revealed in Medina, not in Mecca. So many things happened in Medina. Brothers and sisters, in the second year of the Hijrah, another amazing thing happened. The switching of the Qibla, the changing of the Qibla towards Quds, facing Quds, facing Mecca. When the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ migrated from Mecca to Medina, he left his heart in Mecca. You know, I left my heart in Mecca. Well, you know what? I say whenever I leave Mecca, I left my heart in Medina and I left my hair in Mecca. Yes, you know, because in Mecca, that's where you have to shave, right? You know, in Mecca, you have to shave. So I left my hair in Mecca and I left my heart in Medina. Only for the brothers, not the sisters, of course, right? The sisters, you don't leave your hair in Mecca. You know, maybe you left your husband in Mecca, but not your hair. Take your hair with you. You left your heart in Mecca and Medina. So the Prophet left his heart in Mecca. And when he came to Medina, he would go out in the morning or, you know, sometimes, and then he would just go and face Mecca, waiting, maybe hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send down some revelation, right? Some revelation that would tell him that he could face Mecca. Also, sisters and brothers, the Jewish people, they used to mock the Muslims. They used to mock the Prophet. They used to mock the Muslims. How would they used to mock him? They used to say, "Oh, you people, you face al-Quds. You face our Qibla." Because the Quds at the time was under the hands of the Romans and the Jews. Right? So they used to say, "You people, you face our Qibla. You face Bayt al-Maqdis. You face Bayt al-Maqdis." So the Prophet, he wanted, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reveal something so that he can change the Qibla. So on the second of the Hijrah, in the second year of the Hijrah, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he went to the house of a lady by the name of Bashir ibn al-Bara. Her name is Ummu Bashir ibn Bashir ibn al-Bara. And when time for Dhuhr came in, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he went and he prayed Dhuhr in the Masjid Banu Salama. Masjid Banu Salama, brothers and sisters, remember, this is when the Prophet migrated from Mecca to Medina. When he reached Quba, He established the masjid in Quba, and then he settled, you know, in the tribe, you know, for some time, a couple of days, in the people of Banu Salama. He stayed there for a couple of days. They built the masjid. So the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, used to go and visit them. So when Dhuhr came in, he started praying Dhuhr, and some Sahaba were behind him. And then Jibril came, you know, alayhi salam, and he held the hand of the Prophet to tell him that the Qibla has changed. So in the second rak'ah, according to the majority of the, you know, hadith, that he was praying dhuhr, in the second rak'ah, he switched from facing al-Quds to facing Mecca. يعني the qibla was changed. The order to change the qibla was sunnah, was revealed. So the very first salah that the Muslims prayed fully facing Mecca was Salat al-Asr. Salat al-Asr. Because Salat al-Dhuhr, they pray, Prophet Muhammad prayed Turak'ah facing Quds and Turak'ah facing the Qibla, facing Mecca. So all this happened, brothers and sisters, happened in the second year of the Hijrah. But with regard to the foreign affairs, you know, things pertinent to Mecca, to Quraysh, the Prophet Muhammad still had to do his job. And there were still some Muslims, you know, in Mecca who were persecuted. So, okay, Prophet Muhammad has come out. He could have said, okay, طيب, خلاص, I'm free now. I can just live alone and with my people here. And we're happy and we're fine. No, but he had a mission. He had a message to convey. He didn't just, you know, he didn't just, okay, well, that's fine, we're fine. We build the masjid, let's just pray and live happily ever after. That was not the aim, to just come and live happily ever after. We need to convey the message. So the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he did something. He had to prepare. So what did he do alayhi salatu wasalam? He number one, he did a survey, a census, like a survey. You know, I want how many people are able to carry a weapon? How many people are able to read? How many people are able to write? So he was doing a survey, you know, from in Medina, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he established that, and then he established something very, very important. What was it? Before I tell you what he established, brothers and sisters, I want to ask, how are you doing? How's Mu'anisa doing, stranger? How's Zoe doing? How's Yashmin? How's Baizul Aziz? Those of you on Instagram, those of you on Facebook, Hafez Khan, Zijad, Glamosech. How are you guys doing? All of you out there, how's everybody doing? Kayfa halukum? I just need to ask how you people doing before I tell you what happened. Yasmin, alhamdulillah. How are the people on Facebook? How are you guys doing? Please talk to me. Please talk to me. I miss you. Shazia, you doing great? Alhamdulillah. Yasmin, you doing great? Alhamdulillah. Hafiz doing all right? Alhamdulillah. Who else? Ashraf Salam or Ashraf Siyam? Ashraf Siyam. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Ameen. Ameen. You too. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, stranger danger. Hard Mu'nisa, I know what's going on. Ro, Mina, alhamdulillah, doing great. Saidant Wahman, alhamdulillah, thank you. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Zijad, alhamdulillah. Who else on there on Facebook? How are you guys doing? How about those on Instagram? Other than Mu'nisa and Aim Thabit and Yasmin and Shazia and Ro, Mina, Rose Lily, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Bint Bladi, alhamdulillah. You said you're from Morocco? Yeah, I'm proud. Khadija Elizabeth Shingler, she's doing great. Alhamdulillah. Sayyid Tarif Ali, alhamdulillah. Awesome Zoe, alhamdulillah. Enjoying this. And your chocolate. Oh, you must be from Belgium. Are you from Belgium, Zoe? Sayyid, are you from? Ahlan, ahlan. Ahlan bil hello. Ahlan bil hello. Ahlan bin al-ain. Ahlan tasneem. Ahlan, ahlan, ahlan wa marhaba. Ya marhaba, nawarti, nawarti min ba'id, nawarti. MashaAllah. Sami Mustafa, alhamdulillah. Kullu tamam, mashallah. You know, Zoe, are you from Belgium? Because that's where people eat chocolate, right? People who eat chocolate, they must be from Belgium or Switzerland, or I don't know. In Canada, we have chocolate, but that what? Ferrero Rocher or Nutella? Even the Nutella that we make here in Canada is not the same as the one you guys make in Germany or in Switzerland or in, you know. Anyways, brothers and sisters, the third thing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did was he established an intelligence team. Yes. I don't know how Sister Fatima is doing. I don't know. I asked, but thank you for reminding me. I'm going to call her and ask and see how she's doing and call her husband and see how they're doing. Zakallah khair for reminding me. So the Prophet Muhammad established a new, something called the intelligence team. Not spies, you may call them spies, why not, but it's an intelligence team. Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Sa'd ibn Zayd. Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Sa'd ibn Zayd were the ones bringing news to the Prophet Muhammad, his eyes. Those will be very, very important. You know, this intelligence team will play a very extremely amazing role when, you know, before the Battle of Badr. You know, they would bring news to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So they would play a very instrumental role in getting information to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the Prophet Muhammad started sending expeditions, saraya. He did not participate in these. We cannot call them battles, because Prophet Muhammad did not, you know, did not participate in them. But we call them saraya or sariya. Sariya in singular, in plural form, saraya, or expeditions, where the Sahaba will be going, you know, just to test the waters. All this, brothers and sisters, will lead to the Battle of Badr. Brothers and sisters, Abu Sufyan, he came out in the caravan. 1,000 camels and 5,000 dinar, golden dinar, mostly belonging to the Sahaba, those who left their wealth money back in Mecca. So 1,000 ba'ir, 1,000 camels, 5,000 golden dinar, the Prophet got the news. Who told the news to the Prophet, brothers and sisters? How would the Prophet know? Those eyes I talked about, you know, those eyes, who are them? Remember, I told you about their names. Who told the Prophet the news that there's a qafila, there's a caravan coming out, you know, carrying this much money? Somebody must have told the Prophet Muhammad, and don't tell me Jibreel. Don't tell me Jibreel. I just told you, right? I just told you. There is, you know, that team the Prophet built. Remember the team that the Prophet established? What's that team called? You know, the FBI. Remember? The CIA of Quraysh, of the Muslims. The CIA or the FBI. Oh yeah, the CIA. Let's say the CIA. You know, what are they called, brothers and sisters? What are they called? Remember? The team that the Prophet, you know, built. Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Sa'd ibn Zayd. Yeah, the intelligence team. The intelligence department. Not Zubayd ibn Awam. No. Sa'd. Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Sa'd ibn Zayd. Sa'd ibn Zayd, they are from the intelligence team that the Prophet built. They brought him the news. Quraysh, you know, led by Abu Sufyan, came out with 1,000 dinar, 1,000 ba'irs, and, you know, 5,000, you know, golden dinars, you know, coins, and they only have like 40 men only, you know, because people are going for, you know, for business. So the Prophet Muhammad consulted the Sahaba. This is it. Your money is there. Let us go and attack it. Let us go and attack. So the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam came out. 314 people, or 313. They were not ready for war. They're going after the caravan. The intention is the caravan. So 314 or 313, and they had only two horses. Two horses. That's it. They were not ready. Two horses and 40 camels. A lot of them were walking. Prophet Muhammad, by the way, he was 55 years old. He migrated when he was 53. 2 years later, Badr happened. He was 55 years old. Ali, he was 25 years old. Radiallahu anhu arda. So they were, a lot of them were walking, and, you know, and they were exchanging, you know, like taking turns. Those of them who had camels, they were taking turns. Some would walk, some would ride, and then after some time, those who were riding would walk, and those who were walking would ride. They were just, because they were not ready. They had nothing. They left everything behind in Mecca. So they're starting from scratch. Radiallahu anhum wa ardahum. Uh, What happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orchestrated the whole thing. Please, I'd like you to read Surah Al-Anfal. Surah Al-Anfal. إذ أنتم بالعدوة الدنيا وهم بالعدوة القصوى والركب أسفل منكم ولو تواعدتم لاختلفتم في الميعاد. Even the place, even that battlefield was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كما أخرجك ربك من بيتك بالحق وإن فريقا من المؤمنين لكارهون يجادلونك في الحق بعدما تبين كأنما يساقون إلى الموت وهم ينظرون وإذ يعدكم الله إحدى الطائفتين أنها لكم وتودون أن غير ذات الشوكة تكون لكم ويريد الله أن يحق الحق بكلماته ويقطع دابر الكافرين ليحق الحق ويبطل الباطل ولو كره المجرمون إذ تستغيثون ربكم فاستجاب لكم أني ممدكم بألف من الملائكة مردفين وما جعله الله إلا بشرى ولتطمئن به قلوبكم وما النصر إلا من عند الله إن الله عزيز حكيم إذ يغشيكم النعاس أمنة منه وينزل عليكم من السماء ماء ليطهركم به ويذهب عنكم رجز الشيطان وليربط على قلوبكم ويثبت به الأقدام إذ يوحي ربك إلى الملائكة أني معكم فثبتوا الذين آمنوا سألقي في قلوب الذين كفروا الرعب فاضربوا فوق الأعناق واضربوا منهم كل بنان. What did Allah say? What is this? Surah Al-Anfal all about the Battle of Badr. What will happen? All of a sudden, things will change from going after the caravan to being stuck that you have to face Quraysh. You have to face Quraysh. War. But they're not ready for war. Physically, they're not ready for war. Spiritually, they're not ready for war. They had nothing. Some of them came only wearing one izar. Didn't even have the rida. There's only izar. Like Sawad ibn Ghaziyah. The Sahabi Sawad ibn Ghaziyah, when the Prophet was lining up the army, and then this man, Sawad ibn Ghaziyah, he had a little bit big belly, you know, and as the Prophet was lining up, and then his belly was not, you know, he was not in the line, so the Prophet hit him with his staff, his stick, and then he told him to make the line, you know, to go back. And then the man says, "Oh Rasulullah, you hurt me. I want al-qasas, I want my right." The Sahaba, they were, you know, astonished. "What are you talking about?" He says, "Yeah, you hurt me." And then the Prophet says, "Okay, here, hurt me back." And then he gave him the staff, he gave him the stick, "Hurt me back." He says, "Ya Rasulullah, you see, I'm not wearing, take off your shield." He removed his shield. "Take off your shirt. I'm not wearing the shirt." He was only wearing what? The izar, but nothing on top. They were not ready at all. And then when the Prophet removed his shirt, then the man went and he kissed the belly of the Prophet. He jumped and he kissed the belly of the Prophet. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, this could be it. I could die today. I could die today. And I want, the last thing that I would have done before I die is to have kissed your belly, Ya Rasulullah." Allah Akbar. Bismillah. I want, the last thing I would have done before dying, if I were to die today, is to have kissed your belly, O Prophet of Allah. What would happen then or next? What would the Prophet do? How is he going to line up the army, the battlefield, the soldiers? Who's going to lead the soldiers? Where are they going to camp? Even the place of the camping is chosen. Why would rain fall all of a sudden? Rain fell. Why would rain fall all of a sudden? So many amazing things happened in preparation of the very first battle in the history of Al-Islam. this battle called Badr. What would happen? We will talk about that tomorrow, inshallah. With all the details. With all the details, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow, bi'idhnillah. Thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your taking time to come and join me today. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. And until another episode of Walking with the Prophet, or upon the footsteps of the Prophet, Riyad Razazi, love. Jazakum Allah khair. Saying Salaamu Alaikum wa rahmatullah. Salaamu Alaikum Shazia. Thank you for coming. Salaamu Alaikum Yashmin. Thank you for coming. Salaamu Alaikum Zoe. Thank you for coming. Salaamu Alaikum Sayyid Tarif Ali. Thank you for coming. Hafiz Khan. Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Sayyidat Wahman. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Sayyidat Wahman. Thank you, Bayzuri Aziz. Thank you for joining. Rose Lily, thank you for joining. Thank you. Thank you, Hafiz. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining. Hope to see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you. Salam to your wife from me. Yasmin, thank you again. Romina, Zakallah khair. Thank you for joining. Thank you so much, all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. May Allah bless you. Those of you who've come in late, please go back and watch the set. You know, the session is recorded on Facebook, on Instagram, and it will be on YouTube, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you, Yasneem. Tasneem. Thank you, Tasneem. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining. Barakallahu fiki, Zakallah khair. No wafti wallah. Thank you, thank you. Barakallahu fikum. Thank you, Zoe. We'll see you tomorrow. Barakallahu fikum. Thank you so much. Tomorrow, same time. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah khair. May Allah bless you all. May Allah reward you all. Barakallahu fikum. Riyad Razazi, checking out. Peace, love. Salam wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And here is Salah. She's also saying salam wa alaikum. Say salam wa alaikum from far. Say salamu alaikum.
Salamu alaikum.
Or maybe Milo wants to say salamu alaikum. Hat Milo, hat. Let me show you my Milo. Come Milo. Come Milo. Habibi Milo. Ah, yalla, say salamu alaikum, Milo. Say salamu alaikum. Ah, Milo, he's saying salam. How are Milo? How are command? Milo, say salamu alaikum. He just woke up. Look, he just woke up. He just woke up. Ah. Did you dream about Badr? Did you dream about the Battle of Badr? Huh? Say salam. Say salam. Go salam alaikum. Aywa kida. Ya, jazakallah khair. Barakallah fikum. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alaikum, jazakallah khair.
Let's go, Leah.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Look, he's here everywhere. Salam alaikum. Nawal, were you sleeping? Or were you partying, Nawal? Come on, we're done. Where were you? Salam alaikum.